Hello, good evening. Welcome to another episode of Guns and Yellow Ribbons. I'm Fergus. I'm your host. Tonight it's myself, it's Trevor, and it's Del. We are going to talk about lots of stuff. It's in the international break. There is no Arsenal football to talk about, but there is lots of other stuff, including Ben White signing a contract, Tomiyasu signing a contract, lots more.
Get ready for the world's greatest Arsenal podcast. Welcome to another podcast by Guns and Yellow Ribbons. Enjoy the show.
Good evening, guys. Good evening, Trev. Christ, that crept up on me. I didn't even realise. All of a sudden, it was like 10 to 7. Then there was 7 o'clock, Trev. It was just like very, very, very sudden. And what an awful intro, don't you think? That was awful. So bad, he's left himself on mute.
I've said I've heard better, namely me last week. Much better, I thought. But you're back, so we'll have to put up with you. Got so much to talk about tonight, Fergus. I'm excited about this. Benny White is our mate. Got to talk about a great weekend night in Newcastle. Talking about European aways, an upcoming trip to Man City, so important. Upcoming trip to Munich, so important. The great atmosphere at the Emirates. Sky TV scheduling games, the cost of European ways. Fergus, we're never going to get it done in an hour, son.
We will. Well, it depends. Look, listen, what really is important, and Del, I'm sorry, before we bring you on, you know, we got this guy, he's all over the bloody telly. I'll probably get done by Sky for this. It's another advert where old man Trev is in the middle of it. Trevor, it's all about the arms for me. It's all about the arm. Look, that arm, you can see it with the green and blue.
Do you know what, Ferg? I'd like to say I'm embarrassed by it, but I ain't, mate. I bloody love it, mate. I absolutely love it. Love our football club. Love supporting our football club. Love talking about our football club. Love everything to do with the Arsenal Football Club. So, yeah, great.
Del, how are you, mate? Get a word in here, Jerez.
You guys are done, then didn't see that coming. But no, I'm good, mate. I'm good. It's I've been looking forward to this. All I've been doing all day is talking about pensions and council tax and all the boring stuff that hits us later on in life. So looking forward to letting my hair down and having the usual chat and banter with you guys. But just the three of us tonight, I notice.
It is. We don't have our good friend Alex. Alex is at work until about now, and by the time he gets home, we'll be too late. And Dan just bottled it, basically.
Oh, poor Dan. He's working hard, our boy, Dan. He's working hard, saving his money to buy me beers in Munich because we're there a little bit early.
Yeah, well, Dan was only there a bit earlier. He went in on Sunday. So, Hente, good to see you. Good to see everybody in the chat. Listen, the first thing we've got to talk about is an international break. And we have got players out on international football. Del, some of these players are out on genuine games that are really important, for example, for Poland, Ukraine and Estonia. So Karl Heine, Zinchenko and Kivior, they're playing proper games and it means that they could possibly get through playoffs and maybe get through to the Euros. But there's players like, well, we've got David Raya, we've got Odegaard, we've got Trossard, we've got Saliba, we've got Havertz. All of these players playing for the countries and Ramsdale, actually, which is a really good positive. He's been called up for England, but they've all been called up for pathetic friendlies. How do you feel about our players being called up in these sort of windows, especially for the friendly games where, you know, injuries and with the running we got and possibly winning the Champions League and winning the Premier League?
It's a tough one because the reality is every player wants to play for their country, right? I get it. But just to get my feelings out there now, I am club before country 100%. That doesn't mean I don't support England because I do. But I am 100% club before country. I get it. Why do these players get called up? Obviously, the better they play, the more chance they got of being called up for these friendlies. And these friendlies are probably used by Southgate and his team to try and determine who they're going to take to these big tournaments, right? The problem we have is we find ourselves in a position we're competing in the Champions League. We're competing for the Premier League. I don't know if you've noticed, but we're top of the league still. Couldn't lose that this week with no threat and no football. So, we've just got to hope we don't come back for injuries. I think it's great for some of the fringe players like the Zinchenkos who need the match time, etc. But for your mainstays, I see a tactical injury to Gabriel. He pulled out the Brazilian squad. I was just hoping a few more tactical injuries happen before we play Man City.
Tactical injuries, Trevor, Alex Ferguson done it many a time with lots of his players. How do you feel about players? Like, you know, you've got to be proud if you're a footballer to represent your country. You know, I've just had an experience with my brother. He's made to a high level in his occupation and so on. And I'm really proud of what he's achieved. And that's how somebody's got to feel about that footballer. If they've achieved that level of, you know, that they're playing for their country, it's got to be outstanding feeling, but for a point, friendly.
Yeah, I mean, just to pull, I agree with everything you said, Dale. To pull you up on one thing, though, mate, not everybody wants to play for their country because Benny White ain't going, is he? But, yeah, I have double standards, double thoughts about international weekends because what you say, boys, is exactly right. Most footballers want to play for their country. They want to go and represent their country. It's the pinnacle of their career, isn't it? You know, that's what they aim for. When they're a young kid kicking the ball in the park, they want to play for their club, and then they want to play for their country. So you can't fault them all. But much like Dale, I'm a club before international man. I don't even watch friendly internationals, to be honest, most of the time, because I just don't enjoy watching the football. I'm not bothered. I'm worrying whether our boys are going to get injured. I'm falling out with Southgate because he's keep leaving Saka on the field for too long, you know. So, yeah, I'll be glad when this weekend's over. Well, I won't be glad when this weekend's over, actually. But from a football perspective, I'll be glad when this weekend's over. And we can move on and look forward to Easter weekend when the real, real, probably, possibly the biggest game we've played in a few seasons. On Easter Sunday, the outcome of that game could be massively decisive in where that silverware heads at the end of the season. So, yeah, get this weekend out of the way from a football perspective and let's move on and let's get back to the real football on Easter Sunday. Can't wait.
Yeah, that's going to be huge. We will talk about that shortly. But you mentioned Ben White. Benny White isn't going to away with England and playing Brazil and I don't know who else for England are playing. I'm not really that interested. But he signed a new contract for Arsenal Football Club. How do you feel, Dale, about Ben White and signing the contract? How good of a player is he? We talked about him, I think it was not last week because I wasn't on last week much, but the week before we talked about Ben White and how underrated the player is.
I think he's only underrated by fans of other clubs. I don't think anybody, I think everybody knows just how good he is. When you look at a lot of these pundits, they're all praising Ben White. I think the only people really saying that he's not the level he should be is people like the likes of Liverpool, who are comparing him to Trent Alexander-Arnold and Kyle Walker, for example, at Man City. But he is on that level for me. I think it's quite clear that Southgate wants White because he sees that Arsenal got something good done that right-hand side. If he can replicate Ben White and Saka's club form for England, God, England will be unstoppable on that right-hand side. But like the comment says by Nobby there, we don't know what there's lots of speculation, there's lots of reasons why, but Ben White is an absolute fantastic footballer, absolutely fantastic, and I couldn't be happier he signed that new contract.
Yeah, agree. Absolutely agree, Ferg. It's an interesting one, isn't it, Ferg, with Benny White? For me, he's the best right back in the country. The way he plays the game is nothing short of fantastic in most of the things he does. obviously something has gone off with England. We've all speculated, we've heard speculation on the news channels and on the social media channels. But the fact of the matter is, no one is 100% sure. But my feelings, my thoughts are that something's gone on in the England camp. And I think Southgate saying that Ben White rung him and said he didn't want to play for him was Southgate taking the easy option. Southgate could have told us why. But then again, maybe Ben White don't want us to know why. So Nob is exactly right. We should respect White's decision and be thankful that he's not going to get injured. He's going to be back playing on Easter Sunday.
Trev, what was your opinion of Roy Keane when Roy Keane walked out on the Irish team in Japan and Korea in 2002? Because, you know, him not representing his country, for me, I've got my opinion and I'll share it shortly, but I'm interested to know what you both think about what you thought of him as a professional, as a footballer, and the stance he took.
Well, at the time, I thought that what he did was absolutely wrong, walking out on Ireland. He didn't say he didn't want to play for Ireland. He went to a tournament. He went to a tournament that's probably one of their talisman, one of their highest class players. And he didn't get on with the manager and he spat his dummy and got on a plane and come home. That for me, that's completely different to what Ben White has done. Ben White has just said, I don't want to play for England. You could have compared Ben White coming back early from the World Cup more to that situation, Fergus. Mm. But we've came.
Well, that's almost where I'm coming from, because he did come back early from the World Cup. Yeah.
But with Keane, we didn't have any wonder, did we? Because Keane likes to run his mouth, didn't he? So we soon knew exactly why Keane came home from that tour. But I still think to this day that Keane, if he was a proper international and he loves Ireland as much as he said he did, he should have stayed and he should have played for his country. And not only played for his country, but we've said it a lot on here. They don't just play for their country, they play for the fans. And then passionate Irish fans, they travel in vast numbers. And them Irish fans deserved to see the best football team that Ireland could possibly put out. And they didn't, because Roy Keane came home.
Hmm. Wasn't he captain as well?
He's captain. He was captain. We got to, was it the quarterfinals, and got beaten on penalties by Spain. We could have been the shock horror. We could have been the Leicester. We could have got to the semi-finals, the finals. And personally, I was gutted and very annoyed with Keane for a number of years. But as I've matured, I understand principles, and I think that's what he had, his principles. Don't laugh. I haven't matured. I understand principles, and I think that's where he was. I don't agree with his principles in some ways, because if you're that passionate about a small nation like Ireland, and you've got the opportunity to play for them, you should do. Dale, what was your view on the Ben White situation and equally the Roy Keane, if you want to use it as a comparison?
Of course, yeah. I mean, with Ben White, there's lots of speculation, right? I mean, there seems to be something to do with Steve Holland in there. Now, what that is, I don't know, but it's not the first time it's happened. As you mentioned, he come back early from the last tournament. I think the difference is Ben White has said he wants to play for England. There's lots of things doing the rounds when he got his first call up when he's playing for Brighton. And he was over the moon. He said it's a proud moment for him, a proud moment for his family, and a moment every Englishman should aspire to get to. So regardless of the reasons, I mean, he's got his reasons, right? The Roy Keane thing for me, at the time, I'll be honest, it didn't bother me so much. I don't involve myself with other people's teams. I know it's obviously a lot closer to you than what it is to me, but the big thing for me there is he's the captain of the club. Whether you are happy or not, if you've been there the tournament, you are the captain of that club. People look up to you. Younger players look up to you. You are supposed to be the leader of that team. Imagine that in a war-like scenario. You see your leader walking off. You might as well start waving the white flag. And that's what do you do? If you're the rest of the senior players in that squad, you've got to put twice the effort in to make up for that. But you won't forget in the back of your head what that man did. He walked out in your country.
You know what? Both of you in different ways have summed up my feelings about it. And, you know, I type of understand it in time. But, yeah. There we go. Listen,
before you move on, Ferg, I must just put a little caveat to that. I think he's an absolutely fantastic pundit now. I mean, he's the best out there. He says it how it is. So I have the greatest respect for him as a football pundit, but as an international player, maybe nowhere near as much, mate.
We have a game coming up. Well, we've got a couple of games coming up. We've got a game coming up against Manchester City, which we'll talk about. But before that, well, after that, but probably more importantly, the two fronts we're fighting on is against Bayern Munich. And we go to the Allianz just after Easter on the 15th, 16th, 17th, I think it is, of April, the Wednesday night. But we also have Munich attending the Emirates on the 9th of April. Trevor, it's going to be quite unusual. I was fortunate enough to attend the game in the first game post lockdown against Rapid Vienna when there was only 2,000 fans and we had to wear face masks and be 10 seats apart and everything else. And it was the most odd atmosphere ever. But on this game, there's going to be no away fans due to flares chucked on midway through the second half against Lazio in the previous round. Sanctions have been given against Munich. What's your thoughts on the sanctions and what's your thoughts on no away fans?
What will be, Fergus. I don't really have a view on it, mate. It's they've thrown stuff on the pitch and they've picked up a ban for it. My worry about my only problem with traveling with away fans is us English fans. When we go abroad, I think we're treated despicably in some countries. But as for Bayern Munich coming here with no fans, if it helps us get through to the next round, so be it. I'll take it all day long, mate.
Del, away fans not being allowed means there's about 3,000 empty seats. What would you feel would be the best way? There's talk of the seats being sold. It hasn't been confirmed yet. It has
will to be sold. Yeah. Away.
Yeah, that has to be sanctioned by UEFA, but it will be sold. What would you like to see done in there? Would you like to see it solely given to silver members, solely given to junior gunners, flooded with the Ashburton Army? That was 3,000, but you understand what I mean. But what would you do with that area? And what sort of wall of noise do we need to make for that game?
It's a very good question and one that I've been following quite closely on social media, Twitter/X, over the course of the last week, really. Now, I've seen that about the Ashburton Army, and I'd love to increase their allocation. I really would. I think they've done a great job in getting the atmosphere going down there. But at the same time, we've got a lot of fans who are, for want of a better word, pissed off over the course of the year that have not been able to get in that ballot. There's an extra 3,000 seats now. So I don't know how I'd play it, but I'd probably look at who had applied for the most ballots and still hadn't been successful. And I'd probably give them priority because they've put in it for every ballot, not got tickets in there. I don't know is the honest answer. It's a logistical nightmare and one that thankfully I don't have to do. As long as those seats are full, I don't want an empty stand. The one thing I will say is I think this puts a little bit of pressure on us home fans. The reason I say that is because there are sometimes lulls in a game where you go a few minutes, 3, 4, 5 minutes of the home fans. They stop singing for a little while. The away fans take over. So there's always an atmosphere. So there's a little bit of pressure on the home fans, I think, to really keep that noise going. Because if there's a 2, 3, 4, 5 minute silence or quieter period, people will jump on it. Because normally that's, like I say, that's filled by the away fans. I would love us, I'd love the club to do what they've been doing for the last few weeks. Get the emails out early, social media, plastering what they're going to do, get the TIFOs out. Get the flags out, North London forever, blast it louder than ever before, and really create a cauldron of noise in that place because it has the potential to be a very strange atmosphere. And I think those little moments of silence could potentially, I don't know, allow them away in the door. I don't know.
Maybe they can get a drummer with rhythm.
Look, right. Arsenal, let's be blatantly honest, right? Arsenal Football Club won't be thinking about anything other than how much money they can make from selling them seats, right? We can all have great ideas about what we'd like to see, but the fact of the matter is, and it's been proven to us time and time again over the last year or two, we don't come top of the list at Arsenal Football Club. You know, we may do to Mikel and the players, but when you get beyond that, when you get beyond Eddie, they don't care about that. They care about how much money they can make, and that, all they'll be thinking about is, oh, 3,000 seats, how can we make a load of money? That's it.
Yeah, You know what? I think if they do, just try and capitalize that and just fill it with like the highest paying bidders and stuff like that, which I don't think they can actually do that because they're lower tier and everything else. I think they'll get a backlash from the club, from the fans, because the fans do seem a bit more mobilized and a little bit more passionate and vocal than they have been over years, and especially post COVID. I'm hoping they just for me, I think the silver members have been really hard done by, in the ballot scheme, especially since that there's only, I think it's 30,000 silver members. Not all of them always apply for the ballot, but they only get such a smaller 3,000 allocation, I think, of the 8,500 tickets that are available to them. Yet again, they keep on bringing in, and even today, if I wanted to buy a red membership, I could buy a red membership and then become a member and buy a ticket in the ballot and win one just randomly. And I think it would be great to prioritize those tickets to either organizations like the Ashburton Army, are silver members who are members of the Ashburton Army, are work with Red Action, work with the fans organizations and try and fill that stadium. They'll fill it, but the important thing, Trevor, is the atmosphere in the stadium and building that atmosphere, because it's going to be a little bit strange. And if we're looking at the game itself, I know we'll look in a couple of weeks at the game itself. I think it's important that we go to Munich with a couple of goals at least in our back pocket, because the away game, if we go there with a 2-0 lead, I think we can generally progress on to the next round. But on the atmosphere things, one of the topics that we said we'd talk about tonight was the atmosphere at the Emirates. And I know you weren't at the game, either one of you, on Tuesday week, whatever it was, last Tuesday, the Porto game. But you have been at most games this season, the season ticket holders. But the atmosphere in the Emirates this season and the previous season, post-COVID and everything else, has been absolutely outstanding on the concourses and in the stands. Trevor, how do you think the atmosphere in the Emirates compares to, say, Highbury, the library, the so-called soulless bowl that was Ashburton Grove that people talk about, and compared to other grounds that we go around the country? Where else do you think is louder?
Well, it's interesting you say it, Fergus, because we did talk about it earlier today, didn't we? Firstly, I don't think there'll be any problem with the atmosphere when we play Bayern Munich at home. It's a Champions League quarterfinal. The fans are going to be behind the players. I don't think we need to take a 2-0 lead. I'd like us to take a 2-3, 4-0 lead, but I'd be happy going there with a 1-0 lead. I honestly would. Anything that makes Bayern Munich have to come out and open the doors and play a bit. As for the Emirates atmosphere, well, it's interesting because we've definitely picked up and we've probably got the best atmosphere in the league right now. And if not the best, right up there. And people say we've caught up with others and overtaken them. But we go to a lot of away games, right? And yeah, they picked on Arsenal when they said we had a library. But there's so Liverpool, Man United have been terrible. Quiet ground. Liverpool, they don't make sound until they score a goal or they blare, "You'll never walk alone" out over the tannoy. You know, Sheffield United the other night when we went. Now I know Sheffield United going down, but Sheffield United have got a reputation for having really good vociferous fans. Didn't hear them all night. Forest away where we played there, mate. Didn't hear them all game. You know, so were we? My thought is, were we really that bad? Or were we just the club that people chose to highlight? Because when we won games, we were loud. But what's happened this year is it's changed, and the atmosphere right from the very start is good. And it tends to, with a little few silent bits like Dal talked about, that happens in every game. Every crowd goes quiet for a little while. We've been loud and we've been vociferous and we're right up there with the best. So I don't think we really were that bad. I think people, as they always do, chose to highlight the Arsenal.
Dale, what's your thoughts? Like, Trevor mentioned a few stadiums. I find Leicester quite loud. I find Liverpool and Man United, loud, but probably because of more the PA system than the ground. I find Newcastle immensely loud. And the noisiest one, not this season, but last season, the last game of our away game last season was at Forest. I find the older, the clubs who are less established, maybe in the Premier League, are noisy. But the Emirates has got to be up there with many of them, hasn't it?
Yeah, I find it quite ironic that people who call us the library, half of them never even been there. They're just jumping on the bandwagon of, they used to call it the library, so we'll call it the library. Anybody who's been there in the last 2 years in particular will know full well that is without doubt one of the loudest stadiums in the country. Now, you mentioned Forest. I was lucky enough to be at Forest with you guys last year. And that atmosphere, you could feel it. You could feel those Forest fans literally through your skin. It was electric. It really was. And you don't get many atmospheres like that. But at the moment, I'll tell you one of the things that gets me every time, and Trevor always says it gets him, North London Forever. When they sing that at the Emirates, then every single person in that place is on their feet. You don't need a PA system because the fans do it all. I saw a video, actually, from outside the stadium. I don't know if you've seen it, when they're playing the Angel, and how loud it is. I don't buy into this nonsense of the library. It's people just... It's just... old school fans who just carried on something that doesn't exist. Same as when you always hear that same old Arsenal always cheating. Really? Come on, guys. It's not 1990 anymore.
Look. Is this the one you're talking about?
Sorry?
Was that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. And you can't tell me that's a PA system because Louis Dunford doesn't sound like 60,000 singing fans, that's for sure.
No, he doesn't.
So I don't buy into this nonsense. And I genuinely believe the last 2 years, we have had one of the best atmospheres in the Premier League. For me, that's it.
The games you just mentioned is a prime example of what I've always said. Fans lift players, but players lift fans. And the prime example is Nottingham Forest last season. They started on the front foot against us, and their fans were absolutely fantastic. This season, when we started on the front foot, didn't hear them. Now, the difference at Arsenal is, and Demsek says there, the end of Wenger's reign, it was hard. It was really hard to get enthusiastic about going to the stadium. You used to go to the stadium full of dread rather than full of hope or expectation. But now I don't think the Arsenal fans at the moment need the team to be playing well for the players, for the fans to lift the players. They do that anyway. And when the team do start playing well and score a goal, it goes even higher. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And we know too well, BX Gunner says, Lons away, the whole stadium sung, didn't they? You know, so it was...
And it was intimidating both for us, Trev, and the team, wasn't it?
I'm sure that intimidated our young team in the first game in the Champions League. You know, I'm sure it did. Demsek's right, 60,000 fans plus Jesus singing North London Forever. How good was that to see, boys?
Superb.
That was great. Mind you, he did get the words wrong. He done the typical thing.
You can talk. You can talk about getting words wrong. Yeah.
Hands up. Yeah. That's fine. Listen, if you're talking about creating atmospheres, you're talking about Lens away and you're talking about various things. We mentioned we got Bayern Munich, but European aways, we've just come back from Porto a few weeks ago. I've done most of the aways in Europe this season. I'm not going because I'm with the wife down in a caravan in Dorset in April. And to be honest, I'm really looking forward to it. It's just be nice to get some time away together. But Trev and Dale, I think you're away as well, but Trev, Dan, and Alex and some of the other lads, they're all going away. But Dale, I'll come to you. It does cost a few quid, doesn't it?
Worth every single penny. I've said it before and I'll say it again, right? I've done two European aways in my life. That's it. And they've both been this season. And they've both been absolutely fantastic trips. They really are. And what price do you put on living your life and being happy? And you know what? Some of the happiest times, recent memory, Porto away, loved it. Absolutely loved it. For me, if you've got the money to do it, you don't have to go out and spend a fortune. Yes, the flights cost a little bit, as do the accommodation. But I mean, I'm sure if people wanted to go, and I would encourage everybody, even if you can't get a ticket, I will certainly go out again to European away games without a ticket, because the atmosphere is ace. It's fantastic. And you can do it on a bit of a budget. You can do it. It takes a little bit more planning. It takes a little bit more work and a bit more time. But yeah, it's a tough one. It is a tough one.
Trev, that's a really good point that, okay, we don't go first class. We try and do it cheap and cheerful sort of, in the sense that we went out to Porto, it cost us 200 quid, 250 quid, I think, each, flights and accommodation and car hire and everything else. So it wasn't a fortune for a couple of days away. And then you look at your beer and food and everything else. But, you know, there were a lot of young lads out there who were sipping like with three straws and a bottle of lemonade and getting by, you know, having a good time, but enjoying the atmosphere. Like, you've been doing it for years. I've not been doing it as long as you. So
look, there's many, many people that have done many, many more European away games than me. But I've done my fair share now, and they're not. I'm very lucky, and I'm very honoured, and I don't take it for granted that I can afford to do these games, because they don't come cheap, you know. But what I would say to people is, if you can't do them now, there'll come a time in the future when you can do them. You know what I mean? And nobody will look. Nobody thinks you're less of a fan for not going. I'm just one of the lucky ones in a position to be able to go. They don't come cheap, you know. And as Fergus, you just rightly said, there's always a way around it. Like for this Munich game, Dan and myself are flying to Nuremberg and getting the train for 16 quid, you know, from Nuremberg to Munich. So there are ways of doing it. You've got to be quick, because as soon as the airlines and the hotels realise you're in town, that the prices go up and up and up. And the beer money, you just got to be like me, just drink two pints and then you're fine. You don't spend too much on beer then, you know. But yeah, I am very lucky, and I don't take it for granted that I can go.
I also recommend eat somebody else's tapas.
Yeah, well, yeah, you did do that. Yeah, and the poor man ain't here to respond. But oh, you did that. It was that.
I am. Yeah, yeah, it was my bloody tapas. Yeah, yeah. And then he had the cheek to turn around and say, "Oh, that was lovely. That was."
Oh, the olives were amazing, and you said how much you like olives, and I've gone, they're smoky, they're nice. Demsek, two pints. He didn't say what two pints were. He might have two pints of cider, two pints of Guinness, two pints of lager, but he'll only have two pints. Okay, so that's how he does it, and he gets away.
And that goes out the window when the missus is with me, because she drinks too much. I have to keep up with her.
Well, Demsek met the lovely Donna, yeah, up in Sheffield, and yeah.
See, there we go again. It's not just European aways. There's some great trips in this country as well. And yeah, if you can't go now, I feel a bit guilty about being able to go to everyone. I know I'm a lucky, lucky man. And what I would say is, if you can't go now, you will be able to go in the future.
Trev, look, listen, Dan, who's not on tonight, he's an accountant, and he kept a spreadsheet of his costs of last season. To be honest, mine were very, very similar. I didn't keep a spreadsheet, but I looked, and you are looking at five figures for a year following the Arsenal home and abroad. And that probably doesn't include the half the beer. So, like, you know, it is a lot of money. We are very fortunate. But, you know, the most thing I took out of that was what you said there, is that you mightn't be able to afford to do it right now, but there will be a point in your life where you will be able to afford to do it. Maybe not every game, but some games. You will hopefully be able to afford to go to Liverpool and do an away game, or do a European away game. And if you do get the chance, grasp it with both hands, because the away day experience and the away day fraternity, I don't like that word as American, but the away day friendship that you make with the people. Del, you've, as you said, you've been on two away days in Europe, but you've been on a few in the UK as well. But the link up that you make with these people, It's just so different than just going to the Emirates, isn't it?
Speaking from experience, right? So obviously yourself and Trev, you go home and away all across the country, over land and sea, and Leicester. But for me, it's so I'm fairly new to this, the away scheme, right? I mean, I've not got any away points myself, so I've got to jump at every opportunity I can to get them. But when you do speak to people away, you grow your networks, and that starts at home. So growing your networks at home, joining podcasts, speaking to people on the concourse, speaking to people in the pubs, because you never know who you're speaking to. I mean, once upon a time, I didn't know you guys a couple of years ago. Didn't know you guys from Adam. Become good friends, been home and away with you, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I really wouldn't. And that was just through us talking and communicating. I think it started through the podcast as well, didn't it?
So it started through Arsenal Fans Forum. I posted something and I said, is it okay on your Peterborough group? And
of course, you
were, and then we met up for a beer.
But this is why it's so important, not just podcasts, but if you've got local Facebook groups, local supporters clubs, get involved, guys. That's how you grow your network. You grow your network, you've got more chance of getting these tickets. I see plenty of people asking for tickets, but these are the same people who don't want to go out and make the effort. They just want a phone call to say, yes, here's a ticket. But the reality is when you get... Go on.
Yeah, no, Dale, you are right. Everything you say is absolutely right, and it will help you get tickets. But the match day experience, even if you only go home games, or even if you just watch it on TV and you're on a WhatsApp group or whatever, the whole thing about building your network of friendship, like of people, about Arsenal people, it's just unreal. Like that, we got two or three WhatsApp groups. You've met probably half the people in person, but they are good friends. Trevor, you've been doing this since God was a boy, since Father Christmas didn't have a beard.
Remember, I had a lot of years off ago, and it's probably only been like the last 6 or 7 years that I've been back going regularly.
Correct.
You do make, every time you're doing a away trip, you make a new friend at least, because there's the odd exception, but in general, the Arsenal fans have a great camaraderie. I look at an Arsenal fan, even if I don't know them, if they're an Arsenal fan, they're all right with me, you know what I mean? And we have a chat and we have a laugh. So that's what it's like. It is a big, big family friendship. And just be careful, though, because if you go to one, as Dale knows, it gets very addictive and it's struggle not to go again.
Yeah, I don't know what crack cocaine is like, but if it's anything like doing Arsenal, and now that we've got the Emirates rocking that we have and the atmosphere that we got the Emirates, and especially Block 5, and you've got down the clock end with the Ashburton Army, now that we got it like that, I had some friends who hadn't been to the football. I don't think they've been to football since before lockdown. And they messaged me saying, because I had a couple of kids and everything else, said, oh, I've got a ticket. I'm coming to the Portsmouth game. I said, oh, where are you? He said, I'm North Bank Lower. I said, oh, whereabouts? Block 10. I said, well, come round an hour beforehand and come to Block 5. I said, it sometimes gets a little bit lively in that. Well, you met Nick. You guys weren't there. Nick is a friend of mine, and he was there, and he said it was just unreal. He has not experienced anything like that in the Emirates Stadium. So you have that there, and you've got the away atmosphere. It's just unreal. Listen, this weekend there is no Premier League or Championship football because of the international breaks. I don't know if there's League One and Two, but it's very much a non-league weekend that people do. Trevor, you like to do some non-league games. You do Boston United and some of the other ones. You've been to loads of different grounds. I get random messages from you from Fleetwood and this ground, that ground, everything else. What's your plan for the weekend? Are you doing a non-league football, and what ground are you going to?
I've got to be very careful here, Fergus. Very careful indeed. Firstly, I've got three local
teams. Being you first.
I've got Boston United, Boston Town, and Skegness Town. And they're all three great places to go and watch football. But I like to go to new grounds. I like to go and tick a ground off. I'm a bit sad like that, really. So last weekend, we were on our way back from a trip to Newcastle, which I'll talk about in a bit. And York City were at home. So we just parked the car and I'd watched the game at York City. Fantastic modern new stadium, great sight lines, and a lesson that the bigger clubs could learn. Concessions for old age pensioners started at 60 years old, right? They're not losing a lot of money. It cost them a fiver because I got in for a concession. You know, I paid a fiver less. But I tell you what, it makes you feel good knowing that that club cares about certain people. You know what I mean? That's the first time I've been there, and I had this feeling that, yeah, these are a decent club. Decent club. But, yeah, so this weekend, Fergus, I'm making the most of the international break, and the lovely Mrs. and myself were off to Madrid for the weekend. But I have had a crafty look at the fixtures in the Madrid. And I think that it's the same as here. It's an international break there, but there is a one or two lower teams in the Madrid area that we might just stumble across on Saturday. I'll see how she feels, see how we go. But yeah, my plans are to go and hopefully watch a game, and then the rest of the time do whatever my beautiful wife wants to do in Madrid. This is my mate Dino commenting here. Trev, you told me you were going to go and watch Boston. Well, that probably would have been Friday night when I was under the extreme influence of alcohol at the Louis Armstrong concert. And there's no way I would have remembered it. So sorry, Dino, mate. But he ain't a bad lad, Dino. He ain't a bad lad at all.
We need to talk about that concert, but not just yet. And you might want to ping me a couple of those photos as well, because I want to put them up. So if you want to do that while I'm talking in a second. You talk about going to non-league things and being abroad. I was over in Lake Garda a couple of years ago with my daughter and her partner. And we were sitting some campsite of some sort, like we had this chalet caravan sort of thing. And me and Martin, who's my daughter's partner, we're sitting there, and we could hear this whistle, ref's whistle all the time. And he got on his phone and went, he said, there's Toscano or something like that. It was some like 7th or 8th tier non-league football team. And then we had a game the next day. So 3 o'clock that next afternoon, me and him took 2 beers each, went in, plonked ourselves in the stands. It cost us absolutely nothing to go in and just watch a game of football. Something to do when there's nothing else to do. Del, you're not far from where Trev is, and you went recently to the aforementioned Boston United.
I did, yeah. My little boy played a game there against the Boston Academy. It's actually not a bad stadium. It's really not a bad stadium at all. Although there's one side not finished because they run out of money, from what one of the coaches was telling us. But I do enjoy a non-league game as well. And this Saturday I'll be going to Peterborough Sports versus Blyth Spartans. I think they're Conference North. Nothing special, but it's beats sitting around doing nothing on a Saturday. And if the weather's all right, I'll take the boys as well. They like watching a game of football. So,
which game are you thinking about taking in? Sorry, I missed that.
Peterborough Sports versus Blyth Spartans. They're a Conference North.
Blyth Spartans, they've done quite well in the FA Cup, haven't they, in the past?
They have indeed, yeah. They have indeed. They've. I don't know much about them. I'm not going to pretend I do. But that's how I recognise the name from the FA Cup only. So.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get you to fill in because I've lost all my screens. I don't know where anybody or anything is. And I saw a comment, actually,
whilst you're looking for that. I did see a comment. I think it was Capo, actually, about the lower league games. And we're always bad at each other, right? We all say, we're bored, there's no Arsenal, this, that and the other. Genuinely, guys, get yourself down to a non-league game. Every single one of you, I guarantee, within a 5 mile period, you probably have a local football team. Might not be at the League One, League Two standard. It might be non-league, but that's what it's all about, right? Get down there, cost you next to nothing.
Exactly. You're talking about Capo.
Do you know what? Sorry, it doesn't matter. We've got a local team in my small town, Spilsby Town, and they play on the local park. And do you know what? I often have a wander over there, and it ain't the best standard of football, but by God, them boys put their heart and soul into playing. You know what I mean? And you're not afraid to put a tackle in, and it's can be a mud bath of a pitch. It's great to watch. It's great to watch. Fergus, before we move on, look, Arnie's commented. He's going home to his house that's under threat of the volcano. Arnie, we're still thinking about you, mate. We're still thinking about you. We hope everything goes all right, mate.
I must admit, on that note, I did message Arnie when the recent eruption was a couple of days ago. because it was that town was virtually wiped out. And I did message Arnie, said, "You okay?" And he came back to me in about a half hour and said he was okay. And I was pleased for that. Arnie, yes, we are thinking of you, mate. We've got you and your family in our hearts, and we wish you all the best, and hopefully everything works out for you. You talk about non-league. It's not non-league, but it's lower league. The last weekend, there was no football. I think it was last, or it might have been last week. Capo Dan, he went to Dagenham Redbridge, but he took his mum or his nan, and he had a great time. It was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. Listen, there's a couple of things that we'd like your feedback on, and you can message us on Twitter, or you can contact us on Facebook, or you can go on to our email us. I think it's gunsandyellowribbons@gmail.com. But we're doing quite well with numbers and people starting to watch and they're starting to follow us. And we were talking among ourselves and going, well, what have we done differently? Because we don't think we've done very much different than we've done before. We just carried on and been ourselves. But we'd love to know if you have any ideas or any things you think we could either do better, are things you'd like us to talk about a bit more or a little bit more in depth. So if you want to drop it in the comments, if you want to drop us on Twitter, if you want to drop us something on Facebook, please feel free to do so. It's going to be interesting.
You're in trouble here, my son.
I know, mate.
You are right, though, Ferg. I mean, because we'll only do the one show this week because there's nothing to preview, but we now do the two shows. On a Monday night, we talk about our wonderful club. And then on a Thursday night, we preview the weekend's games, which we wasn't sure was the right thing to do, was it, if we're honest? But no. It seems to have taken off and people are thoroughly enjoying it. And to be honest, I'm thoroughly enjoying doing it as well, especially with a bit of Arsenal bias. So it'd be good to know because we're picking up a lot of viewers. It's wonderful. Very humbled by the amount of viewers, Fergus. And as you rightfully say, mate, it'd be lovely to know if there's anything else we should be doing, mate.
Mm. Another thing to talk about, I think it was announced yesterday, Tomiyasu. Tomiyasu has signed a new long-term contract with Arsenal. I don't know if it was today or yesterday that it was announced, but really, really good. Good utility player, centre-half by nature, like Kivior, like Ben White. But they're able to play left back, right back. How do you feel about what's that? I got a clue.
Me boy,
for the better people who are on audio, Capo Dan said he was really busy, and he was so busy he couldn't be asked to join the podcast. Yet again, he's very happy to join the podcast and make comments like, I don't know. I like it. I'd like it if you talk more about Kevin Nolan. Do you know him? So, Dan, do one.
So, can I just butt in, mate? I'm sorry. Where are we? I just, Annabelle, I've not seen that name pop up in the viewers. Thanks for watching, Annabelle. Much appreciated. Yeah, I live in Lincolnshire. I live about 45 minutes from Lincoln in Spilsby. So, yeah, that's where I'm based. Yeah, long travelling to all the games, but I wouldn't miss them for the world. Sorry, so Ferg.
Basically, Annabelle, avoid Silsby. Honestly, just stay well clear.
Oh, no. Whilst you're on that note, guys, right, it would be good to know where people are watching from, because we know where some of these guys are from, right? I'm just curious to see how far this reach is. We can see how many viewers there are, right? But we don't know where people are from. I'm guessing Annabelle was in Lincolnshire somewhere, like me and Trev. We've got people in Iceland. Yeah, well, it'd just be interesting to see where people are, you see. So, I mean, if anyone wants to drop a note in the comments, let us know where you are. We'll see who's the furthest afield, because, it's just nice to know the reach.
This comment here, this is once again my mate Dino's watching tonight, and he's desperate for us to win the league because he don't want Liverpool to win it because he's a Man United fan, is Dino. Well, he's a dirty Man United fan, actually, but I used to work with him many years ago.
He's not one of your St. Helens lot, is he?
No. I used to work with Dino in Skegness many, many years ago, and it was the kind of job where you had to watch each other's backs closely, and I never let Dino down, and occasionally he'd like get behind me as well. But yeah, he's a top bloke, Dino. I'm not talking about him anymore though tonight.
What was my name always down? Was I always getting in?
Probably not. Your skirt wouldn't have been short enough. <though.
laughs> listen, Trev, we slag them off, and I know that they have you on every other week, and we had to hello, Mass Gooner from Vancouver. We had to discuss with Sky if we could have you on tonight because you're, you know, so busy and your agent done us a special deal. But Sky TV, just Premier League TV. Okay, for us in the UK, it's a little bit odd because we don't get the 3 o'clock kickoffs because between that 2:50 and 5:15 window, I think it is, there's a blackout, which was set in 1960. That rule was set because they were worried about taking away from non-league football. But if somebody's a football fan, I think they'll still go to Boston United, they'll still go to Skegness, and they'll still go to Peterborough Town, whatever. I'm only making names up. You'll still go to football if you like football, and you'll go for all the reasons that we talked about earlier. That is, it's more about the experience of spending time with your friends and everything else. Yeah. But Sky TV has been great for fans.
Look who's coming. The wonderful Sarah's in Northampton. Sarah and Mark are really good friends of ours.
Attention.
Great people. Thanks for watching, Sarah. Thanks for the comment. You know I love you both. So,
I see there's a couple of people from Northampton in there.
Yeah, and, Nobby, I'll speak. Nobby Clark's in Northampton, look.
I was speaking to Trev earlier today, actually. I'm going to Northampton. I don't know if you guys have seen, but Louis Dunford's announced his latest tour, and he's in Northampton, so it'd be good to see some of you guys there. I think me and a couple of lads are looking to make it as well.
Yeah, Ozzy's gone as well, isn't he? So, but listen, before we digress, Sky TV, love it or loathe it, and TV in general, it does create a fantastic experience for people who right around the world who can't get to see football. Like, you know, they experience VAR so much differently than we do. They see all the interaction. They hear half the conversation. They get commentators are hearing what the referees are talking about, and they try and guide them through what's happening. We just stand for 5, 6, 7 minutes with nothing and just a purple screen. But, you know, what's your thoughts, Trev? I'll go to you first because I got a type of an idea where you're going to go with this. What's your thoughts on Sky TV for fans that can attend, but they make it absolutely awful for us, don't they?
Just be aware now, Trevor works for Sky, so he's got to keep his views to a minimal here.
I have to be careful.
I am listening. I am listening, by the way.
I have to be careful because they won't renew me contract. Sky, if I talk about them too badly. Fergus has gone off to his age. You know, he can't hold it for an hour, so he's gone off to empty his.
I'm still here.
Yeah, his earphones work in the toilet. He's a lucky man. To turn the mic off, though, we don't want to hear you, Ferg. But as for me and Sky, I struggle in a lot of ways with Sky because they don't help us travelling fans out. But for fans that watch on the telly, they're brilliant, aren't they? They've made the game so accessible, and they've made what you see so much more easy, and there's a game nearly every night of the week you can watch. But as a travelling fan, they've cost me and the like a lot of people a lot of money. There's games where we now can't get trains home, so we have to get hotels, you know, and there's games midweek, so you're taking 2 days off of work instead of one. Now, I know there's always been midweek games, but you've always had a lot of notice of them in the past, whereas nowadays you get, you know, 2 or 3 weeks if you're lucky. So what I'd like to see happen is I'm all for Sky bringing the coverage that they do. I think it's fantastic, you know, for people. And I love watching it when I'm at home. But what I'd like to see them do is actually give a little bit of consideration to the teams that are playing in certain fixtures, you know. If you've got a game that you want to play on a Monday night, make it Liverpool and Everton or Tottenham and Arsenal or somewhere where the fans are not travelling so far. I know that they could do that. I know that they could drop a spreadsheet and do that. Don't have Newcastle coming to London for an 8 o'clock kickoff on a Monday night when the Geordies can't get home again, you know. Make that a Saturday game at 12:30 if you're going to make it anything, you know. Or even 5:30, they'd still get home with a 5:30 kickoff. So, yeah, my view on Sky's changed a bit. The coverage is good. I'm not too keen on a lot of the summarizers, but that's personal view. Their coverage is great. You can watch a game every night of the week, but I just wish when they choose these games, they would think about the locations of the teams. And I know that can't be done every time, but I know it can be done a lot more than it is now. And I mean, who knows? We might have Sky watching us here and waiting for us. So I would urge Sky just to try and look at that and get the fans on your side. If you started scheduling games, you know, that meant we weren't having to take 2 days off work and travel hundreds of miles to stay in a hotel, you'd soon have all the fans on your side, Sky. Because what you do basically isn't bad at all. It's great coverage, but you've got to think of the match going fans a bit. Well, that's my waffle for what it's worth.
There's a really good point there, Del. Look, listen, I'm in the latter end of my career and stuff like that, and kids are gone and everything else. I know you've got your still younger kids and so on, and Trevor's in a similar position to myself. Bolt Pond Road, blimey, I wasn't too far from you, Jim. Jim said he's in Bolt Pond Road in Islington. I was Dalston, so not a million miles away. But myself and Trevor in probably a slightly more advanced situation than yourself. You still got young children and everything else. But, you know, the average person that goes to an away game, the home fans, you know, they know what they're doing, and it can be difficult for like the likes of Trev can't do lots of the midweek late kickoffs because there's no trains back up north to Skegness and stuff like that. But your average away fan, now if you think of Newcastle scheduled up, when was our Newcastle game? I think it was a Monday night or something like that. And it's, you know, it's an 8 o'clock kickoff, Lord. It's a Lord. Silly
they're Sky watching.
TV.
Don't talk about them anymore. No, we've not said anything bad about Sky, really, have we? Sorry for cut you off there. We've not said anything
that's
bad about
Ginger. Them. That's Ginger Sky. That's Ginger Sky TV. It's not the real
got
Sky.
To be.
The big D gives it away. But Del, the average away fan is your normal hardworking fella or lady, and that you know the main interest, the main expenditure is up and down the country to watch their football team. And the scheduling is got to be something to look at to try and be a bit considerate for those sort of people, don't you think?
I agree. But one thing I think we can't ignore here is the fact that the blackout, the 3 p.m. blackout is, for me, massively outdated. In a day where people, in a day and age where people can get access to those games, whether you like it or not,
I can't get any access.
I can't.
Whatever.
No, what are you talking about?
So we know that we can't, but I don't know how they do it. But all these people who get access to these 3 o'clock games somehow, the reality is, right, they're trying to stop this. There's always articles about we're trying to stop these 3 p.m. games being broadcast elsewhere and watching it through illegal streams and stuff. They reckon there's 6.6 million people, right, who have these fire sticks, we'll call them, right? So if it's 6.6 million people, you make Sky more affordable, you play these games, you get extra revenues through that. That's the reality of it. People won't need to look at these illegal streams if... alternatives, if they could do it. The lower leagues learned quite quickly. The lower leagues they brought out something called iFollow. You can subscribe to your iFollow, your team's iFollow, and you can watch every single one of their games. The fans who are going to go still go to these games. Would I subscribe to an Arsenal channel where I could watch every Arsenal game? Would I subscribe to Sky Sports if I could watch any game that I wanted to? Yes. Yes, I would. The reality is it's not going to stop me going to the games. But one, they charge an arm and a leg. Look at some games, right? You get a Super Sunday and it's Brentford versus Bournemouth. Not really a Super Sunday, is it? Let's face it, if you had the chance... of course it is, yeah. But let's face it, if you could choose your game...
Look at this Sunday. There was West Ham playing... Who were they playing? West Ham were playing.
Aston Villa,
yeah. And it was... I'm in London area and very West Ham. And there was no Premier League football on at 2 o'clock because the FA Cup was on terrestrial TV and they put Leeds on. Okay, that's fine. I understand for the Championship and the iFollow on every game is shown. But my local boozer was paying $2,500 a month for Sky TV, and he couldn't even show a Premier League game. It's ridiculous. And if he does use something else, listen, we probably should move on because we don't want to get embroiled and get ourselves.
Just look at that comment, folks, because this is going away from TV and going back to scheduling. Going, yes, our mate Kev makes a great point there, because there has been occasions, admittedly not a lot of occasions, but there has been occasions when Sky have chosen their fixtures and when they're going to show them. And people like Demsek have gone out and bought their train tickets, because the earlier you buy a train ticket, the cheaper it is.
Cheaper, yeah.
Then Sky have come back and moved it again. Mm. And that is the lowest of the low. That is proper low. That is.
Look, there was Arsenal Leicester a few years ago, and that was moved. And they're meant to give at least a minimum of 3 weeks' notice, and it was 13 days, you know, which is unfair for, okay, your London side, you got following all over the country, but also the Leicester fans traveling, hotels, everything else that they lost money on. It's just ridiculous. A couple of things to talk about. I think we type it touched on it, but we got sidetracked. Tomiyasu has signed a new long-term contract. We got Kivior, we got Tomiyasu, we got Ben White, we've got Saliba. And we've got Gabriel, all fantastic centre halves, but players that are so utilitarian and so versatile, they can play in so many different ways. We got Timber to come back. We got Zinchenko. You know, the strength and depth in this squad that we're going to have defensively, Trevor, is just going to be immense, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, and you can. I'm glad you grouped them all together and said all the names, Fergus, because that's the most important thing. Every player at the Arsenal that we know of wants to play for the Arsenal. They're all signing new contracts. And I don't have to tell you what picture that paints. You know, it means they're very happy and they're expecting to win stuff. As for Tomiyasu is an interesting one for me because he's been absolutely fantastic since he put that Sky Cavi in his place. He's never let us down. But the one thing that I've got the hump with Tomiyasu a bit at the moment, because he was injured before the Japan Cup, went to play for Japan in the Asia Cup, was fit again. And then as soon as he's come back, he's injured again. So, yeah, I'm pleased to see him. He's signed till 2026 with an extra year's option. But we need him to stay fit for longer. He's spent too much time on the sidelines. We need him fit because when it comes to picking up an injury across our back line, Tomiyasu becomes a very important part of that cog. Very important part of that cog. So it's a great signing for me, but we've got to hope he stays fit. Got to hope he stays fit.
Dale, briefly on this, what's your thoughts on Tomiyasu?
I think Tommy's a fantastic player and a fantastic signing. I think it's an important signing as well. We've touched on the fact that he can play right back, left back, or centre back. Those players don't come around very often. So to have somebody like that in our ranks who's happy to sit on the bench when needed to, but can also come in and cover anywhere along that back line, I think is an important signing.
Mm. Trevor, you said that we wouldn't do this in an hour. We're just over the hour, an hour and 3 minutes.
Yeah. And we've got to answer this one from Annabelle now. He has only signed for 2 years, and I was quite surprised at that, Ferg, wasn't you, with Tomiyasu? I wonder whether it was a contract at that length of time that enabled him to be brought up in the wages structure a little bit and maybe given a few extras, and that's why they've signed it. But don't forget, he has got the option of an extra year on that, so it's highly likely to be 2027, Annabelle.
But also, Annabelle, the other thing it does for the club is if he's on a 2 year plus one, it means his transfer value increases. So a bit like Eddie, people moan about Eddie, me included, getting $100,000 a week. But by putting him on that 5 year contract, we'll probably sell him this summer and get 30, 40 million. Who'll do that? Well, we got 45 for Iwobi. So, you know, we'll get some money for him, and we wouldn't have if we'd let him go on a free beforehand. Trevor, I suppose the one thing, I don't want to go into too much depth about it because it's a few weeks away, and we'll probably have a chat before the game, but it's huge. It's massive.
Can we just clarify what you're talking about here?
We're talking about Trevor's tattoo on his belly.
It's getting bigger and all at the minute. I need to be on it.
Yeah, it's getting quite stretched. I've never seen Arsenal look so big in my life. The Man City game, the whole league, including Arsenal fans and Man City fans, but Liverpool fans, anybody who's a football fan is going to be watching that game on 4:30 on Easter Sunday. Easter eggs in hand, beer in the other hand, but Liverpool play Brighton earlier in the day, so that could give it a bit of... You would have thought that Liverpool would win that game, but should they not, it's all on that game, isn't it?
Yeah. Look, Ferg, as I said at the very start of this programme, right, for me, this Easter Sunday game is the most important game we've played in a few years. It can be very decisive in where this trophy is heading. I'm sure there'll be some twists and turns after it, but if we go to Man City and nick a win, it's not just about the winning. It's about what goes on in the team's heads, what the psychology of it all, right? If Arsenal players go to Man City and pull off a win, you're going to have to drag them off the ceilings. They will not be able to wait to go out on the field again and do it again and again, you know? If Man City lose, then it's vice versa for them. They're going to think, well, that's twice Arsenal beating us this season. Maybe we're second best. Who knows? So, for me, it's the most important game of the season. And as I say most weeks on here, I go to Man City full of hope. Maybe not so much expectation because they're still a very fine football team. But I go to Man City full of hope. And I can expand on that a bit. I'm in the Champions League full of hope. In the quarterfinals, where we've not been for a long time, you know, I'm full of hope that we can win the league. You know, that is where the improvements come this season. From last season, people are saying to me, "Well, we were right up there with a chance last season." Well, absolutely, we were. And when it comes to the league, this is where we start to find out if we've moved on from last season. But then you look at the Champions League and you think, "Well, that's an undoubted improvement on last season, the season before, and the season before." So we are getting better. We are getting better. Fingers crossed it won't all fall apart. But Man City, whoa, so important. So important in more ways than one, as I've just said, mate.
Dale, I'm not going to make the journey up to Manchester for that one. It's a family day and Easter Sunday and everything else. So you get your brownie points and everything else and save them for maybe Man City in the semi-finals. But it's got to be... It's going to be a pivotal game for us both in the league, but I think also a pivotal game in the Champions League as well, because if we go through that game and we win, or even if we were to draw but have a convincing performance, I think that would give us hope going into that Champions League game. And should they go well, then we face City or Real Madrid in the semi-finals. It's got to fill us with a lot of confidence, don't you think? How important is it, this game, for you in our season?
At the minute, how can I put this? So last season, right, we all got, let's face it, right, we all got excited. We all got maybe a little excited too quickly. But I don't regret it. But I'm going to learn from that this season. At the moment, are we in a title race? Yes, we are in a title race. Can we win the league? Yes. If we beat Man City, I'll start to actually go, you know what? We can win this league. And each game that goes by, I'll grow and grow and grow. If that's just me as a fan, imagine you're those players on that pitch, right? You're going, right, because let's face it, they've been a bit of a monkey in our back, right, for a little while now. When we've been to the Etihad, we haven't beaten there for a long time. They're a good footballing side. We cannot take that away from them. However, on our day, we've shown over the last few weeks that this calendar year, we are one of the best teams in the league. Now, one of the things that people have really, really annoyed me when I said, right, oh, we've been winning 5-0, 6-0, 4-0 against nobodies. Those nobodies and those 4-0, 5-0, 6-0 results are why we're top of the league. Let's not forget Man City's title, the first league title, was won on goal difference. We're top of the league on goal difference. Every point, every goal, every game counts. If we win this game against City, now I've got no expectation. I expect a good performance is what I expect. If we win this game against City, I would put us firmly in a driving seat. Now, let's look at this from an odds point of view, right? The odds are still massively in City's favour. Sky have Man City 55% odds on to win this title. Arsenal were like something like 21% or something daft like that. How can we be top of the league with 10 games to go and we've got less than half the chance of City to win that league? There's a lot of people going to end up with egg on their face if we win that game on Sunday. And
the advantage of the added goal difference.
Yeah. Of course. Let's not forget that because City are not going to drop many points. They have shown the last 10 games of the season, they are more than capable of going and winning every single one of those games. We're lucky in the fact that we can control that. We are one of those last 10 games. We take points off them. It may motivate them to do better the next time. But at the same time, it may go, shit, hang on a second. We're in a title race now and we've got to pull our finger out. And look at those fixtures. No one's got something. There's no easy run-ins there. There really isn't. I mean, our next four games, I think if you look at the time between them, we've got Man City. I think 3 days later, we've got Luton. 3 days later, we've got Brighton. We've got Bayern Munich, which isn't on there as well. We've got a game every three days. They're all winnable games, which is what makes the City one more important because our fixtures are getting hard. They're getting piled up. So every single game we have to go in with the belief that we can win this. And if we do win this game against City, my God, there'll be some sore heads on Monday morning.
Look, right. You speak a lot of sense there, Dale, right? But there was one thing you said that I just need to have a word with you with, like, mate. Get excited, Arsenal fans. You have every right to be excited. You had every right to be excited last season. You have every right to be excited this season. We've not been this close for a long, long time. And if you can't get excited now, you never can. Scream and shout it from the ceilings that we're up there. Be excited because, you know, if it all falls apart or if we lose a game, you might get the likes of Tottenham, Chelsea, Man U, West Ham. You might get them fans on social media getting on your back or your mates might get on your back. But I'll tell you something for nothing. They may be taking the mickey and they may be having a go at you, but they all wish they were in our position now, mate. They all wish they were in our boots now. They're jealous because we're back, you know? So be excited. Do not be afraid to be excited, Arsenal fans.
Just to clarify that, what I said was I'll get more and more excited every game. I am excited, you know that.
I know you did, though. I wasn't pulling you on it, mate. I just needed to get that in, mate.
Trevor, before we finish up tonight, you used to play sport at a reasonably high level, but it wasn't round ball, was it? It was egg-shaped, wasn't it?
Yeah, I used to chase an egg about. And now I've got to clarify now, Fergus, because now you've raised that. I've always been a football fan and an Arsenal fan and I've loved football. But when I was at school, I couldn't play football. I was absolutely useless. I was clumsy and falling over. And then my PE teacher at the time at Northumberland Park School in, believe it or not, Tottenham, was a bloke called Bob Deming. And this would have been in the early 70s, early mid-70s. And he played very high-class rugby, Bob Deming. He's very, very nearly the first black fella to play for England. He fell at the last hurdle. They used to have selections in them days and it was all a bit closed shop at times. And Bob fell at the last hurdle. When he was a great rugby player, fantastic rugby player. But he said to me one day, "Oi, Ilzy, come over here. Come and play rugby over here." And I just took to it. And I loved playing the game. Maybe it's because I've got no sense and no feeling and I got battered about. And I'm paying the price for it now. I'm in a bad way with my body. But I loved playing rugby, adored playing rugby. But I support football. I love watching football.
The only reason I brought that up is don't know if you noticed my top tonight.
No, I can't see, mate.
It's got a shamrock on it that says I-R-F-U.
That's not the top that celebrates the hand of Henry goal, is it? Oh, no, F-U.
No. This is one where you're allowed to handle the ball. And you might notice as well my lights in the background. They're green. You know? Six
you know
Nations.
What? I didn't put two and two together, mate. I noticed that earlier and I thought, what's he up to? And then now, yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
I just thought I'd share it with you. And I even drank a Guinness while we were talking. Well, we did have St. Patrick's Day this weekend, but also Ireland won the Rugby Six Nations. England did take the Grand Slam out of our hands. I'm not hugely into the rugby, but I'm very proud to be Irish, and I'm happy that happened. Listen, on that note, you know what? I think we should have an Arsenal-related Irish song. So let's try this.
Lordy.
You know what, Trev? Listen to that. It's absolutely brilliant. You know what's the funny thing is you can hear somebody shouting in the background, louder, louder. We know who that is, don't we?
Yeah.
It's got to be Lyle.
It has to be, yeah. It's a great song, isn't it? Well, I love getting it going. I love getting it going. It's proper old school, that. But, Fergus, listen, mate. We've been on here an hour and 15 minutes now. Once again, you said to me before the show, we won't be an hour. We won't be an hour. You do it every week, mate. Every week you talk to me about it, and every week we go over. So, mate, when you finish talking, I'm about ready to let a tear run. You know what I mean? I'm ready to lose me.
Get your tissues out. Here it goes. Watching us, many of you on Twitter X following us on either Guns and Yellow Ribbons and Hilsey Gooners platform. We've got a few on YouTube as well. Those guys who are on Twitter, we'd love if you went over to our YouTube channel and clicked and pressed the follow. It just helps us to do stuff and enable us. It's a bit like, I don't know, different games like Mario games when you're a kid and stuff. As you get to certain levels and certain rings, it opens you up and allows you to do different things. So if you could go over and like and subscribe, we'd love it. But I've thoroughly enjoyed chatting to you guys. We had absolutely nothing to talk about. There's no football, absolutely nothing to do. And yet again, we filled an hour and 20 minutes.
There's one more thing I've got to do. I forgot, mate. I absolutely forgot. I had a trip up to Newcastle last weekend, didn't I? It turned out to be a very, very busy beer weekend. But saw the great Louis, he's now the great Louis Dunford for me, because his live shows are absolutely fantastic. He rocks the crowd. The crowd just love him. And he's ever so much worth going to see. I know he's got tickets on sale for his, he's not paid me to say this, by the way, but he's got tickets on sale now for his next tour, Louis Dunford. And if I know Dal's already got his tickets. If you can get tickets for it, get it and go along and watch it. Newcastle was a great place. It was a tiny venue, only 300 people. I met up with my great mate, Andy Smith, Smudger, and his lovely lady, Pauline. We had a skin full of beer, and we had a great evening with great company. And then to top the lot, just before the show, we stood in the bar, and Linda Robson walks in, the most wonderful of ladies. Spoke to us like we were our old mate, spoke to us for ages. It was wonderful to talk to them all. So, there's Donna. Look at Donna, how starstruck she is there, my missus. She, absolutely starstruck she is there.
Is the starstruck or pissed?
Both. Bit of both. What? Honestly.
There's you and Smudger and his missus and Linda as well. Listen, you told us some stories about chatting to Linda Robinson, Robson, Louis's mum and everything else. Won't go into loads of detail, but seemed to be a proper down-to-earth lady who just arrived in the boozer on her own, a small boozer, and just rocked up total proper East End and totally down to earth and very welcoming.
Absolutely. Wonderful company. I can't speak highly enough of any of either of them. Brilliant, brilliant people, brilliant show, great songs. And at the end of the day, our anthem. He sings our anthem, Ferg, and forever may it last, mate. Forever may it last.
On that, did you get a chance to have a quick word and say how we felt about it or not? Or was it just like photo and move on?
Well, I'll tell you what happened, Ferg. We was he went off stage, and then me and Andy and myself and his missus and my missus went and stood by the bar and just having a beer. And then this lady came along and she went, "Oh, Louis Dunford's going to come out and meet the crowd," because it's only a tiny venue, you know. She said, "And the queue starts here," and pointed right at us four. So we were right at the front of the queue. It was wonderful. 5 minutes later, Louis came out and he had all the time in the world for a quick chat, but obviously had a lot of people to see. So I was just brilliant talking to him, brilliant seeing him. He's a down-to-earth lad, you know. What are you laughing at? Sorry, now? Trev,
I just had a message sent on a WhatsApp group. He goes, "Fuck me, just stumbled onto Fergus's podcast and thought his guest was Jamie O'Hara in an Arsenal chat."
Who's that from? Who is that?
That's from Red Ken, Ken the Sheriff.
Is he on a wind-up there or what? Is he on a wind-up?
Brilliant. No,
he's been genuine.
Ken is brilliant. Ken is proper Arsenal, is Ken. He's a great fella. Love him. That's brilliant, Ken. Listen, Ferg, I want to change the subject because I know we've got to go, right? But
do we?
10 seconds, right? Bayern Munich, right? When someone mentions Bayern Munich to you, I'll tell you what's the first thing I think of. Someone says Bayern Munich, it boils my pee, and I think 10-2. I keep thinking 10-2 defeat, 10-2 defeat. And that's going to be gone after this next round. That's going to be gone because we're going to go there and we're going to do them, and then we'll never remember the 10-2 again. It won't be important.
What do I think? When I hear Bayern Munich, I think the elite, the top. Barcelona, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, probably Man United because they've won the Champions League. But I don't think of any other English side at that sort of level. But like Bayern Munich, yeah, I just think if we can beat Bayern Munich, we can beat anybody.
Yeah. When I think of Bayern Munich, I think of putting the final nail in Harry Coffin's season, and we'll be the one to make sure he doesn't win a thing this season.
Is your name Fergus? You think about putting the final nail in Harry Coffin's season?
Harry Kane. No, on that note.
What are you talking about?
Oh, brilliant.
I've actually got rid of the Jamie O'Hara photo. I'm disappointed. I might have to get another one.
It's a shame.
It is. Just a shame. Well, we got you instead, haven't we? So, Del, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, as always, mate. I will see you. What's our next game? It's Luton, is it? The Luton?
No, City.
No, at home.
Next home game. Luton's on a Wednesday. I can't do it. I'm not there.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So it'll be Villa. Is Villa the next home?
Yeah,
game?
Villa Saturday,
or
Sunday.
Or Bayern at home, maybe.
Luton's on a Wednesday and a 7:30 kickoff, which is fantastic for me. That suits me fine. In the old days at Ivory, we always used to play on a Tuesday at 7:30 kickoff, you know. So that suits me fine. And then Villa is moving, boys. Will move to the Sunday.
It has done, I think. It has done already, 4:30.
Yeah. Yeah, which will type of screw with what we're going to do on Alec. There's Red Ken. that will screw with some of our planned podcasts. I don't know what we're doing next week. We'll probably give Monday a swerve just for a day off or stuff, and then we'll do something Thursday next week leading into the preview. And we'll probably extend it a little bit and talk about the Arsenal Man City game and so on. So it will definitely be heavily focused on the Arsenal Man City game. We'll talk about the Brighton Liverpool game, and we'll pick one other game as well to talk about. If there's anything you'd like us to talk about or any ideas you've got, you know what to do. Drop us a message on Twitter at Guns and Ribbons. Our email is at gunsandyellowribbons@gmail.com. But I've really enjoyed this, Trevor. Been a pleasure as always. Always a chore. Take it easy.
Forever.
Thanks for listening to Guns and Yellow Ribbons, an Arsenal podcast by Arsenal fans for Arsenal fans. Follow us on Facebook at Guns and Yellow Ribbons or Twitter at Guns and Ribbons. And remember to rate and review us too. Up the Arsenal.